We're going to start with the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, the big book, the steps, recovery, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Help me to glorify you today by carrying your message. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're on step 11, the steps we took. And this is a nice review of how we're supposed to pray and meditate each day. And step 10 is how I live one day at a time with God and stay connected. And step 11 is how I use prayer meditation to improve my conscious contact with God so I can stay closer to him and improve my knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. That's all I need. And step 11, 10 and 11 are pages 84 to 88, and I live on those pages in the big book. And we had a commitment Wednesday night that everybody there was going to be do nightly inventory all week and just read the paragraph that I'm going to review now and then see if it helps you. And the one thing, I've been doing it a long time, and I realize I'm a slow learner. It says, was I kind and loving to all? Well, that might be the actions, but I've looked at that differently now. Was I kind and loving to people in my mind all day? And so that's been helpful. I was thinking somebody said, ugh. I said, no, I got to be kind and loving to that one. And it changes. It changes you so you don't get disturbed. And so I'm going to read the nightly review on page 86. And if you're new, you get to step 10 by doing 1 to 9, and you don't have to do it perfectly, but you do it as with a sponsor. And you get to the point where you're living with God each day, and how do you stay connected? Now, it says on step 11 on the bottom of 85, suggests prayer and meditation. No, meditation. I thought that was funny the first time I heard Drew and Charlie say that. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It does work if I have the proper attitude and work at it. The proper attitude is I'm seeking God, not directing him with my prayers on what I should do all day and what I need. I'm asking him to direct me to do his will and stay close to him. Remember on page 63, we signed a contract with God in the third step, and it says God will give me everything I need. It's very clear. Our daily bread, right? And all I have to do is stay close to him and do his work well. Well, how do I stay close to him? I work the steps. And step 10 is how I stay close to him and do his work each day. And some days I do it better than others. And so God has worry, by the way, in your contract. Don't forget. So every time you worry, you're doing God's job. Because worry is just you're worried about some self-centered thing and whether it's going to happen or not happen or this and that. And it says, it's easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. Now, this was written in 1938, published in 39. The people who in AA had like 60 or 70 members. The guy who wrote this was sober four years. And Dr. Bob was sober 3 years. And they had a lot of help from the Lord and Oxford literature to write these three pages on prayer meditation. Meditation in the big book is not the chanting and the candles and all that stuff, which may be great. I can't do it because I don't know how, but meditation in AA was to meditate on God's will or God's word. What they did before the book was published, they would listen to scripture, and they would listen to it and then meditate on the scripture and then write down what came to them, and then they would share it. They got that from the Oxford group. And so they would meditate on God's word to get God's direction. And so it's different than Eastern meditation. And it says, when we retire at night, so everybody does retire at night, hopefully, sober. It says we retire sober at night. No, it doesn't say that, but it's helpful. We constructively review our day. Now that's the key, constructively review it. Not beat ourselves down, but look at it, look at it. And you're looking at it with God, because this is a form of prayer and meditation. I'm saying, God, I want to look at my day today. Help me review it constructively. And then I ask myself a question, was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Well, every day I could probably answer yes to one of those, because I'm a human being. And remember on page 84, if you just turn the page, it says, on the second paragraph there, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. So in step 10, I'm watching for that all day long, because that's my separation from God. And I'm watching with God, and it says, when these crop up, now, just begin to get into your mind, it says, I ask God at once to remove them. So I go to God to stay close to Him and say, God, remove whatever these negative thoughts are. Then I look at night to see, well, how did I have any of these thoughts? And then it's not hard to answer that. And do I owe an apology? Did I say something or take an action that I need to apologize for? Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? You know how you know that's true? Are you stewing about something? If you are, you need to call somebody or tell somebody about it in the morning, and so they can help you see it differently. Was I kind and loving towards all? That's a son of a bitch question. I shouldn't have said that. It's recorded, forgive me. Kind and loving towards all, and I've changed that to be, am I kind and loving in my mind to everybody? It's not just my actions, it's my thinking. And remember, my thinking leads to my actions. So if I'm kind and loving in my mind, I'll probably be kind and loving to them. Now, yeah, I have to stop myself because there's some people that I find irritating. And I have to say, well, I have to be kind and loving to them. They are who they are. And I probably irritate people. I probably irritated somebody today in the room. So forgive me. What could we have done better? That's another good question. What could I have done differently? Was I thinking of myself all the time? You see how these questions are? It's basically self-centeredness. Looking at my self-centeredness, looking at my spiritual illness, or of what I could pack into the stream of life. So if you're disturbed and you're having a bad day, it's because you're thinking about yourself all the time. And you're not kind and loving towards all, and you're either resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid. So your day really depends on you. It has nothing to do with them. But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish my usefulness to others. So you don't do this to beat yourself up, but you use it to see. And you want to change. And if you don't see it, you can't know what to change. And why do we do this? So we can be useful to God and others. And it says, after making our review, this is really important, I ask God's forgiveness. God forgives me. Say, God, forgive me. I say, God, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And inquire, I ask God, what corrective measures should be taken? And it's always, don't react. Keep your mouth shut. Be kind and loving towards all. It's not that complicated. And so I find that, but I ask God, what corrective measures? I don't think in my mind what corrective measures, because I always screw it up. I have to ask God with corrective measures, and then you go to sleep, and when you wake up, you'll see, you'll feel differently. It's a good thing to do. If you're sober a day, you can start doing this. You can read this paragraph. Because what we're trying to do is seek God, right? And then we did the AM on awakening, so when you wake up, you think about the 24 hours a day. That's pretty normal. Everybody wakes up and thinks about themselves. Does anybody not? No. But it says, before you do that, don't do that. Before you begin, you see the way they write it? We ask God to direct my thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest or self-seeking motives. I do that every morning in bed. I ask God to direct my thinking. And I do that. Now, if I forget, I notice sometimes the morning doesn't go real well. But I do other spiritual things. But it's a simple thing to ask God into your life, into your day right away. You don't need to wait. And under these conditions, now, if God's directing my thinking, this is where you get your brains back in AA. Because remember, our brains, nobody wants. Because they're disturbed, they're self-centered. But you get a different brain now on page 86. You get your will back on page 85. And you get your brain back on page 86 because under these conditions, I can employ my thinking all I want because God gives us brains to use as long as it's divorced from me and it's directed on Him. And then my thought life, and where's your thought life? Is it like, my thought life is in my mind, right? And my mind, my thought life determines my actions. So my thought life is placed on a higher plane when my thinking is cleared of wrong motives. And when my motives are wrong, my thinking's wrong. So you see how it all ties together? It's not very complicated. AA is a very simple program. Fire myself all the time. Hire God. Now we covered AM, and I think we're I'm gonna go to page 140. Is that okay? And we're now looking at the bottom of page 86, and we're going to read what Joe says about indecision, meditation during the day, and then we're going to look at and read the book and end. Okay? The third valuable suggestion deals with indecision. We all face indecision because I don't always have the knowledge or the understanding or the capacity to handle things that come up throughout the day. And this has really helped me, because in my work, I would face a lot of difficult cases in my cancer practice. And I'd have to say to the patient, you know, I want to think about it. I said, we've got options here. I'm going to think about it. I'll call you tomorrow. And then I'd go home, and sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night or something, the right answer would come, or in the morning, I would think of something that I hadn't thought of right at the moment. And I always, it always seemed to be the right decision. So it's okay to be indecisive. Now, before I came to AA, I was never indecisive. We all face indecision because we don't have the knowledge or the capacity to handle things. If we could just realize and accept the fact that we're human. Now, that seems like a silly statement, doesn't it? But remember, if you've come to AA, you've been playing God your whole life. Running the show, right? And we have to stop playing God and realize we're human. We'd be in a better place to start handling decisions. It's all right not to know everything. Most of us allow ourselves to get frustrated because we feel we should know how to deal with everything and how to answer every question. So we don't want anybody else to know that we don't know anything because we want approval, right? And we want everybody to respect us and think good of us. So, but it's okay to say you don't know or you're wrong. I really like to say I'm wrong, because then I grow spiritually. And Chuck C. from the new pair of glasses, he said he would wake up and he'd called God Dad. He'd said, Dad, what else am I going to be wrong about today? Because I only see truth when I realize I'm wrong. We have to realize the limitations we have. Human life is short. We're here on Earth for a short period of time. It's impossible for us to know any significant part of what there is to know. We're always trying to figure out why these things happen. But why is a management question? Why is a God question? At the same time, we have to believe that we are here for a short period of time. We're here to play a certain role. And remember, we're to play the role God assigns. And if we do that, then everything works out. If we can accept our role, now remember, I'm to play the role God assigns, not the role Michael assigns me. And realize we're going to run into things in our lives that we don't understand or have to answer for. Then we can turn these things over to God and ask for right and orderly directions. I realize that God probably has a million answers to every problem I have, since He can see all and knows all. He can direct my life through and around these things. He also has a covenant for me, with me. That's very important. He will take care of me if I let him. He has given me self-will, and he'll allow me to struggle on the basis of the self-will when I assist. Studying the prodigal son, teaching it at the church, and the prodigal son was an example of self-will run riot. But yet God was waiting for him when he came to himself in the pig pen. And so that's a powerful story. When I realized this happened, if I choose to, I could turn the problem over to God, relax, take it easy, and not struggle. It's good. That's why I have the God box. I didn't put anything in the God box in years, but the pool liner collapsed yesterday. I heard this boom, and it's a combination. You don't want to hear all about it. But I said, wow, this is a problem. And then I said, no, it's a circumstance. And then I'm arguing, it's a problem. No, it's a circumstance. So I said, God, it's a circumstance. How am I going to handle this? You know, you have to practice what you preach. And then I put the pool in the God box. I put my wife in there too, because it was a good moment for that. And I didn't tell her I'd put her in it, but I did put her in it. But I put it in, you know, it'll work out. It is what it is. I could turn any decision over to God and go on with my life. I have to realize that when I don't have the answer to a problem, I have to admit it and turn it over to God. And I would become free of the frustration. And a problem in indecision would be where you're really trying to arrange other people how they are in your life. And so you have to realize that you don't have the solution to that. The confusion will have jammed my computer. I won't be able to do anything else. So if I'm confused and wrestling, then I'm separated from God. And I love this. When I let go of the problem or the circumstance, I do not solve the problem, but I free myself for other things. Now remember, who removes our problem? Page 45, it says, lack of power, that's my dilemma. I had to find a power to live, obviously. So where and how am I going to find the power? And it says that we find the exact words. Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable me to find a power that greater than myself, which will solve my problem. And my problem is separation from God. And I solve my problem by conscious contact with God. Do you see that? Is this helpful? All right, good. I was going to shut off the mic, but no, I'll leave it on there. If I can go on with my life, I can either live in the problem or the solution. You ever heard that at meetings? But that's true. You don't want to live in the problem. You want to live in the solution. And when I give up wrestling with it and turn it over to God, the right answers will come. Sometimes the directions, the answers will come from within me. A lot of times they'll come from other people. That's why you have a sponsor. You have somebody you respect. You can go to and say, have you had this situation? What did you do? If I haven't had the situation, I tell them to pray for it. This should make me more mindful that God is with other people regardless of who they are. I wouldn't be alive today if it wasn't for God working in other people. I used to have a big problem trying to select the people that I was willing to listen to. You get it? You're going to decide who's smart enough. I want to listen to only knowledgeable people, but I realize that God speaks through all kinds of people. I don't know who it is, but I have to be open to hear the answers. You see, sometimes the answer seems to come from within me. The big book says what used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes the working part of the mind. We've all had hunches, but we found that we really can't live on hunches. They come when they want to and go when they want to. They're not reliable. But it says if we keep practicing this program, it becomes a working part of our minds. And it says, remember the promise, you intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle you? And that's what they're talking about. You say, well, and one of the things you know is you go to God. And if we practice the program, we can live successfully. If you don't practice the program, you're not going to live successfully. Now, we all thought success was out there, but success is inside. It's how I live each day with God, how I feel. Do I have peace? Do I have serenity? Or am I disturbed all the time? We won't have all the answers, but with this tool, we can get any answer we need. We don't have to walk around with all the answers in our little heads. Remember, we weren't created to be self-sufficient. I'll read it again. Remember, we weren't created to be self-sufficient. We are self-sufficient, but that's not, we weren't created to be. God did not make one of us to be self-sufficient. We were made to rely on God and each other. And we learn to turn things over and receive God's direction. Isn't that really the Garden of Eden? Listen to me, don't do this. No, I'm self-sufficient. As we learn to turn things over and receive God's direction, this principle is demonstrated very powerfully. All of this is so true for me, and I have to even continue to improve on how I do it, and remember to do it, and relax and take it easy, give everything to God, and seek Him, and get centered on Him, and then everything falls into place. The fourth valuable suggestion deals with prayer. Most people have problems in their lives, have an ineffective prayer life. If you're a spiritual giant, I guess you could say it is because your prayer life is healthy. But if you're experiencing tough going in your spiritual life, it is because of ineffective prayer. And we're going to read what the big book says. He's talking about the hunch and relaxing and takes it easy. And he says, we find that if we do this, that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more the plane of inspiration. We come to rely upon it and God's inspiration. And it says, we usually conclude the period of meditation with a prayer that we be shown throughout the day what our next step is to be. Now, I hear a lot of people at meetings say, I'm going to do the next right thing. Does that sound good? Sure. The problem is, I don't want it to be what I think is the next right thing, because I made a lot of mistakes doing the next right thing. Does this make sense? And it has to be God's next right thing for me. So it is important. So I want God to show me throughout the day what my next step is to be. Show me throughout the day that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. And what I used to do, because my work was unusual, it's hard to describe it, but sometimes it would be just things were falling apart. So I'd stand in the hallway and I'd hold this trim, and I'd stand there and hold it and just say, God, just what's the next thing I need to do here? Just to pause, just to ask God and help me. And then I just go in and see the next patient. I wouldn't worry about the problem in the other room yet. I would do that one. It helped me. It helped me settle down. Helped me clear my mind. And we ask especially for freedom from self-will. So this is how I'm supposed to pray. Free me from the bondage of self. Anybody say that third step prayer? So we ask especially freedom from self-will. And I don't want to make any requests for me. I may ask for myself, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. And the other thing I can't pray for is what I think other people need. Because that's playing God. I don't know what they need. So if I pray for somebody else, I say, open their heart to you. God, open their heart to you so they may find your peace and your serenity. You know, open their hearts so that they can get you in their life. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I don't know what I need. I don't know what other people need. Never to pray for my selfish ends. Now it says you can ask for yourself if others will be helped. So somebody wanted a Mercedes so that they could take people to meetings. I don't think that's what they're talking about here. That's it from Joe and Charlie. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that and it doesn't work. I don't really pray for things from God. I just want to have His will in my life. That's just the way it is. And if there are anything's out there that would produce fear, I just say, well, you know, God's in charge. It's not happening right now. It says, if circumstances warrant, you can ask your wiser friend to join your morning meditation. If you belong to a religious denomination, which requires definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select to memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. I noticed there are many helpful books also. Have you also heard about AA-approved literature? And you can't read it if it's not AA approved. Well, that's something that is not relevant at all. There are many helpful books. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, rabbi. And here's a key line in the big book. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer, you see? And then I'm going to go back to the reading. The fourth valuable suggestion is prayer, and he's talking about effective prayer. He says, in my troubled life, I wasted all my prayer time telling God what I wanted, especially when things were bad. Anybody do that? Now, the one time that it really worked was when I gave up completely on that afternoon when I was completely defeated. And I said, God, help me. And I didn't even know what I need, but I knew I couldn't fix whatever I had. And I just said, God, help me. And I felt better immediately. But my life didn't get better for quite a while. But he put people in my life. I couldn't effectively use prayer, he says, to get directions because I used my prayer to give directions. I mean, it's so simple, but it's true. Prayer is meant to be where we receive our directions. And I used my whole prayer life directing God, telling him what to do. I asked God today to put somebody here this morning that would be helped. That's what I do. I ask him each day to put somebody in my life that I can help, that I can serve and guide them to you. And it says it's very hard to switch 180 degrees and go from directing God to him directing you. It's true. But that's what the second step is about, shifting our focus from me to God. Then the third step is the decision that I'm not going to play God anymore and I'm going to just work for him. And the main thing we need is God's direction. Step 11 says that we pray only, notice this word, only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. We often hear this word only read over so fast that we don't notice it, but the instruction is very specific. We are talking about priorities. Other priorities in our lives may change, but the one has been lost. The number one priority for me, the rest of my life, is God's direction. Now, if I'm disturbed during the day and anything's bothering me, I'm not being directed by God. I'm being directed by Michael. If God directs my lives and we have the power to carry out his direction, we'll find we're able to take care of everything that we've been asking God for. I always use God to get me out of trouble, but I found out in 27 years of asking him to direct my life that I didn't need to ask him to get me out of trouble. I realized that God's will for me is always good, and I handed out this daily inventory to a new member today, the left and right hand column. And if I'm on the right hand side and I'm practicing God's character, my day's going to be good. And if I'm on the left hand side practicing my character, my day's going to be pretty crappy. And that's really what you inventory at night, where you're on the left or right hand side. It says, I realized that God's direction has always been in my life, but instead of using it to carry out his will, I did my will and used his to put myself down and make myself feel bad. Anybody do that? Anybody feel bad? You have guilt and remorse? I have to remember that I ask God's forgiveness. Instead of using, and that can be where God's showing me how to do better next time. Instead of using it in a positive way, I use it in a negative way. All my life, when I was about to do something, I knew whether it was right or wrong. For example, I never told a lie I didn't know was a lie. You don't really slip and do that kind of thing. God's direction may have seemed small or it may have seemed inadequate, but step 11 is about awakening to God's direction, allowing it to come alive. As we practice these suggestions and we tap this inner resource, now remember, it says in the big book that the fundamental idea of God is deep down inside all of us, but we've blocked it out by worship of other things, ourselves, our needs. And so what we're doing now is allowing the inner resource to come out. Remember the center panel in the Sistine Chapel is God and Adam, and God is pointing his finger at Adam. And it's a small separation, Michelangelo. And then the next scene is the Garden of Eden. And then the scene after that is where they leave the Garden of Eden. It's not very pretty. And so God, I believe God's inside of me, and he's there, and all I have to do is tap that resource. As we practice these and we tap the inner, we come to rely on God's direction. And we'll find that step 11 has become the force of our lives. Now, how can that work? I change my mind about something. I stop myself from a negative thought. I say, oh, I don't want to think that way. Well, that's God. That's that inner resource. I don't want to react now. This is wrong. I don't want to be resentful. I don't want to be fearful. And I can see it, and I say, I don't want to do that. But that's God telling me not to do it. What we're talking about is each person developing his healthy prayer life. Everyone who's willing to work at this can, in a short period of time, begin to feel the results of having it. For a long time, my prayers were ineffective, but I didn't realize why. It was because instead of praying for God's direction, my prayers were letters to Santa Claus. God do this and God do that. Sometimes my prayers were answered, and often I didn't recognize they had been. After a while, I sort of gave up on the whole thing. Now, there's a line in the big book that I go to whenever I'm feeling a little self-pity or anything. And it's on page 100. It says, when I look back, the things that have happened to me when I put myself in God's hands are better than anything I could have predicted or imagined. Isn't that true? I think back. You know, I got through a son dying. I got through some other difficult things. I didn't have to drink. God gave me people to help me, to connect with me. We need to remember, I like this, we need to remember to pray as if it all depended on God and work as if it depended on us. Now you can pray all day, but if you're still self-centered, it's not gonna do any good. The prayer life has to be followed by action. It can't just be prayer. And that's why you can make a decision in step 3, but unless you follow through with the actions, nothing's going to change. And step 10 is following through in the action of letting God direct you. And step 11 and 10 are together on how we improve this relationship to God so he can help us even better. It says, once we simplify our prayers and ask only for God's direction and the power to carry them out, once we see God's direction throughout the day and act on them, we will see God working in our lives more and more each day. A passerby saw St. Francis tending a garden. He said, you must have prayed very hard, Francis, for things to grow so well. Francis says, yes, and every time I prayed, I picked up my hoe. Okay, now, we still got a little bit to cover. Do you want me to stop here and pick it up on Wednesday? All right, we covered a lot. Wednesday, I'm going to conclude step 11 with the instructions and the final instructions in the big book, and we'll finish this handout. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Michael.